Look, if we brought George Washington here and we said, we have George Washington, the Democrats would vote against him, just so you understand. And he may have had a bad past. Who knows? You know, he may have had some, I think, accusations made. Didn't he have a couple of things in his past? George Washington would be voted against 100% by Schumer and the con artists. I mean, 100%, 100%.
Right now I'm here with Sam and Morgan, two of our CNS reporters who were at the Capitol during the Kavanaugh and Board testimony. They're going to talk to you a little bit about what they saw.
Relatively calm, honestly, if you were to compare it to Kavanaugh's hearings over the last couple weeks. I think the last couple weeks of his hearings were characterized by loud protests, many people getting arrested. Today was more of an emotional, powerful day where people really remained composed and there was silent protest going on. People were very happy to speak to you if you asked them questions about their stance and position. However, there wasn't any loud protesting. There was no screaming. We did not witness anyone getting arrested. But it was very, very emotional and powerful all day.
It was honestly really interesting to see, like, two groups very divisive, having very different beliefs, not really interacting negatively, kind of just standing side by side, like we saw in the overflow line, to get into the overflow room, I mean. We saw that people were standing right next to each other, like, not really saying much, just quietly listening to their phones, listening to this hearing while they were waiting to get into the room. While there was plenty of people wearing shirts in support of Ford and shirts in support of Kavanaugh, there was nothing like too abrasive that I would say. It was really interesting to see because that normally does not happen in DC politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but with that being said, while they were standing side by side peacefully, there was a huge, overwhelmingly larger number of Ford supporters than Kavanaugh supporters. When you were looking at the overflow line to get into the room, it was really all women who were wearing shirts that signified they were in support of Ford, whether that shirt said, "I am a survivor and I vote," in regards to them being a rape survivor and being there in support of Ford. There were a couple Kavanaugh people in line. However, as the day went on, the Ford supporters stayed, whereas the Kavanaugh supporters left. And they just seemed really, the Kavanaugh supporters seemed to be in the minority all day long, no matter where you were looking.
I think it's really interesting that the impact of this spread so far, because I wasn't at the Capitol with you, but in my class, our professor put the testimony on.
Oh, really?
We watched it all class. I mean, like, we were doing
That's
work,
great.
But he had it on all class.
I think this really is history. Yeah, it's history. All day, I had my friends texting me, "I can't believe you're there. Like, you're watching history happen right now. What are the vibes like?" Like, people were so curious to find out what was going on there.
The one thing I thought, like, while I, like, many of my friends are very politically active and really watching and, constantly on the news watching these events unravel, I felt that we saw a lot of older women and older men. And that could be the time of the event. It was a Thursday afternoon, like, people were in class. And while I do say that, there were many college students there, but I did still feel that there was an older generation present there, whether they were for or against the situation. It was just an interesting thing to see because of so many politically active
students.
I completely agree.
Everyone, we were some of the youngest people there, not even just talking about reporters. Everyone there, really, there was a huge generational gap.
And do you think that has to do with who specifically is involved in this instance? The situation is from 30 plus years ago.
Yeah, I think that some of it has to do with the fact that, I mean, we talked to people who came from Maryland, they lived in Bethesda, they've been to the parties that Ford is testifying about. So I think that there's a group of people who are around Kavanaugh and Ford's age who are coming because they have witnessed that history. I think that there was also an older group, even older group of people that remember the Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas issue. So I think that then there was that group of people who were there because they wanted to compare history and remember that and either agreed with that or disagreed with that. So, yeah, I guess that also, like Morgan said, I think the time of day, the fact that it was the middle of the day on a Thursday when everyone has class also did play a part.
I'm glad you brought up the Anita Hill hearing. That was one of my notes. Something that Senator Leahy said, the Democrat from Vermont, during his 5 minutes of questions was that he addressed Chairman Grassley when he said it. He said, "You and I were both here 27 years ago. At that time, the Senate failed Anita Hill. I said I believed her, but I'm concerned that we're doing a lot less for these three women today." And to me, that was one of the most powerful things said by the Democrats, because I think that it shows a growth that has happened.
But you still see these instances where, like, the fact that he has to bring this up and that, like, we were still here and we are here again shows that history will continue to repeat itself until something changes. which
right.
I don't know if that will happen today
hopefully this week.
Hopefully it's now.
I don't know. So you were in the overflow room. Did you watch any of the testimony on your phones?
Yeah, we were standing in line. The press line took forever to actually moving because there was, compared to the public line, they were letting more public in. We were just like, me and Sam had our phone like basically to our ear, just making sure we like listened to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it was crazy to see, like, I like couldn't show my emotions just because in the situation we were in, but like there were so many people crying and like and surrounded by phones, and like we were doing the same exact thing just to make sure that we understood what was happening.
What did you think of her opening testimony?
I think it was you just watched everyone in line with their ears to their phones or their earbuds in kind of break down when it was happening. I think everyone that ever listened to that had chills spread over their body. I mean, as reporters, we had to remain completely motionless during it, which was extremely difficult because it was such a powerful statement. And it was a very graphic account of something that she went through, and you can't help but just feel for her and imagine yourself in that situation or someone you know in that situation. So it was, I think that you just looked around and you saw people weeping on the floor. You saw, the place was silent except for people's tears and their phones playing the testimony.
I think the thing that was interesting though about her opening statement was she kept mentioning the laughter, and that like really hit you because it's so juxtaposed with the emotions that people are feeling and then how these boys are, at the time they were boys, were feeling, and how it's like it was all fun and games to them, and she posed the statement so well. I personally think that and seeing that contrast to what actually happened and how it's a joke to some people and not a joke to other people, like seeing that breakdown and seeing that kind of like of those events of that night like happen to her account was really interesting, and seeing like how vivid, what she could remember was very vivid.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Especially because number one, people keep saying that she doesn't remember details. How can you say that when she just recounted the bedroom, the bathroom, the stairway, everything? And also the fact that up until today, a lot of it was just rumors and hearsay and very little firsthand information. So I think today like was the first time that everyone really heard this story.
Right. What do you think about the differences in how Kavanaugh and Ford handled themselves? I think it was like pretty clear that it was a lot more difficult for her than it was for him. He's used to this kind of thing, being in the public spotlight, but I think all things considered, she handled herself better than
he did. With that being said, he's done three hearings already, than three hearings already, yet the second he was put on the stand, we were talking about it, that he broke down in tears. Ford really was such a strong, brave person and remained composed basically the entire time. Within his opening statement, Kavanaugh cried more than Ford the entire time, and that's just, who knows what the underlying meaning of that is, but
I thought even after his opening like remarks, like him, like I felt he was always yelling at the committee, which made it even like the vibe more tense, because like, and it was very different than the way that she presented herself, because hers was very calm and like more emotion in a sad way, but his I felt was when he was speaking very angry, which kind of then raised tensions on the committee, who then replied very angrily as well, which just made the whole situation way worse than it needed to be.
If you want to talk about yelling, how about Lindsey Graham?
It's so hard to, I think not even only as a female, but as somebody who just wants respect for the world, it is so hard to even fathom, to even like process the fact that he had that outburst in such a sensitive time and such a sensitive topic.
Like turning the whole thing into a conspiracy
theory. Like he sounded honestly like one of those people that you talk to on, like when we were talking to Kavanaugh supporters outside, there was some people we were talking to that had these huge conspiracy theories about how the Democrats are paying Ford to do this and all these various things. And he sounded not like the person who's supposed to be upholding respect and commanding real answers and looking at facts. Like, it was very hard to respect it at all.
Yeah.
I think for something that should be very factual, it's very hard to not understand the emotion behind this situation. And I think that's the biggest thing right now, is that yes, there's facts, but there's also emotion behind it because it's not just something that that should happen every day. And there's so much emotion and grief behind it for someone who has been holding this for over, how many years, 30?
Over 30 years.
Over 30 years. And so I think that is what's, like, the biggest part for a lot of people, a lot of Democrats at least, is that there's more to play than just the factual evidence of is there DNA evidence that she actually did get sexually assaulted. So I think that's going to be the interesting thing to play out.
Yeah. And to go off of that, it just the fact that when you look at your Supreme Court, you want people who are making their decisions. You want your judges to be people who make their decisions based off of fact and logic and outside circumstances and all of it. So the fact that this specific case, while it's not a Supreme Court case, is something that has such tricky lines between the facts versus things that can't be confirmed. Just, it's hard because it's somebody who's supposed to be using facts and knowledge, but you can't use facts and knowledge in this case.